Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my menacing co-host, Frank.
Hello.
Hello. You're very menicing to the evening.
Thank you.
To evening. This evening.
Or morning, or
sometimes
afternoon,
whenever
they listen
to us. Sometimes I forget the letter H and how it should fit into words and sometimes sentences.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Yeah, it is. Tonight, Frank and I are drinking a good old Jameson because I didn't have any beer in my house.
Irish whiskey.
Good old Irish whiskey.
Cheers.
That is the end of Beer with Geeks. It's confusing when we cheer before the end.
That's true.
Like, it just does. It's not going to work out the same way that we want it to. So, Frank, I've been watching a lot of television recently. Because I'm a single, lonely male, and no, that's actually not true. I am not male at all. And
right.
So, yeah,
I was going to say
jokes.
Don't lie to the people.
Disc. bazinga. So, but no, I've been watching a fair bit of comic television, and all these DC heroes keep cropping up. You know, because it's mostly DC on television. I mean, I'm in the middle of Jessica Jones right now, which we'll be
talking about very soon.
I might be done with by the time this episode comes out.
Actually, you probably will be. Yeah.
I probably will be because I'm very close to completion.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, you have Flash on TV, and you've got Reverse Flash, and now Zoom, and you've got Grodd, and Captain Cold, and you go to Arrow, and you've got Damian Dark, and you've got Ra's al Ghul, and you've got Deathstroke, and Deadshot, and like all these movies are coming out.
All the dead death people.
All the death. They're so confusing sometimes. And
it confuses me.
Yeah. And so we've never really talked about this, so like I think I have answers for you.
Yeah.
Actually, that would be an interesting way. If I can tell you who I think your favorite villains are. And so I want to know who your favorite villains are, because we talk about, like, we know our favorite heroes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know yours is Superman. You know mine is Batman.
Right.
We both share a great love of the Flash.
Yes,
and,
we do.
In the DC pantheon. But villains, you know, you would assume they come from your hero's favorites, but that might not always be the case.
Not always.
And so I want to see if I can guess your favorite
villains.
Oh, this
is interesting. Okay.
This is good. This is actually better than I planned it.
Yeah.
2 minutes ago before we started recording. So, so much prep work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Well, I mean, it's just we're on the fly. We're loose. We're on the
we're
fly.
Floose, we're floosing on the flyzies.
Yeah.
See, and now I'm just adding F's
into
words.
You're adding letters that weren't there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's just, you know, this is when we started doing this podcast, right? It, just to take a step back. It really was because we were like, hey, you know, we have such fun conversations just when we hang out every week. Why not just record them and let people enjoy them? And if they like them, they like them. And if not, that's fine.
Right. And then they stuck a microphone in front of my face. And
right.
I was like, I don't know how to say things.
But, well, no. But what I mean
but
is.
But I had a few drinks after work. And so I'm ready
all right.
To go.
So you're floosin'.
I'm floosin' flammy. All right. Because I have a cold. Yeah. Floosin' flammy. So, yeah. I drove you here.
Yeah. I know.
No safety.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's all an act, folks. It's all an act. So nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be ashamed of. All right. So I'm going to guess your favorite all time,
okay.
I think, is Lex Luthor.
No.
Yeah, see, this is I don't know.
Yeah, no.
This is good because you would assume it's Lex Luthor because of your affinity for Superman.
Right.
So who is your favorite? I'm only going to get one guess per round,
okay.
By the way.
Yeah. My favorite.
Now, I know this is asking, like, what's your favorite movie? Or what's your favorite television
show? Yeah, it's
show
hard.
On TV
it is definitely
right now,
hard.
Or what's your favorite book? It's very difficult.
It is definitely very hard.
Our first world problems are very real.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. I think my favorite would actually be maybe like a Sinestro.
Sinestro's your favorite?
Sinestro or an Anti-Monitor.
Wow. Now, when you say a Sinestro or an Anti-Monitor... Mm-hmm.
Behold the shelf of Anti-Monitors.
Yeah, right.
Choose one, my son,
of your multiverse.
No, I think it's either Sinestro or the Anti-Monitor.
Wow. Now, okay, so let's start with Sinestro, because I dig Sinestro. I love Sinestro.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not my favorite. So tell me why.
I love the fallen from grace, like the good guy who turned bad. Mm-hmm. I like kind of the mythology there of like the almost like Satan, you know, like fallen angel type mm-hmm. thing. So like good cop turned bad. I love his vendetta against the Green Lantern Corps.
Yep.
There's a real hatred and a real disdain. And I really, really love, like, those stories come from such a, like, not that I can relate, like, not that there's anything that, like, oh, I used to love you and now I hate you. Like, I don't have anything like that in my mm-hmm. life, but I understand it in a way. Like, I guess I'm just a psychopath, Tim. I don't have anything like that I can relate it to in my real life, but it just speaks to me in a way. Like, I just really, really enjoy that kind of story of, like, the tragedy. Because that's what, like, it is like a Shakespearean tragedy or something.
Shakespearean. Yeah.
Good guy turned bad, who now, you know, has dedicated his life to, revenge on the people who wronged him.
Yep. I think you've captured something there with Sinestro, because he's not just... Because you went back and forth with the Anti-Monitor, and not New 52 Anti-Monitor.
No, original
Anti-Monitor.
You're
talking original Anti-Monitor. Because
Crisis Anti-Monitor.
New 52 Anti-Monitor is like tearing it up. He is so badass. It's great. I like that one more than the original Anti-Monitor.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I can see that.
But Sinestro, you empathize with in this weird
way.
You shouldn't empathize
with
him.
Exactly.
You're like, you're a terrible... Not human mm-hmm. being, because you're not human.
Right.
You're a terrible alien. Mm-hmm. You're a terrible alien being.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sympathize with you on a way that, like, oh, you know, I want to control the galaxy through fear kind of thing. But, like, you have real emotions.
Yeah. I mean, I believe his motivations.
And real motivations. I believe in them. I believe in them. And so, yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
I think he maybe has one of the best villain origin stories, like a well formed and believable origin story.
Tell me this origin story.
Well, he was a Green Lantern.
Yes, he was.
He was a Green Lantern, and one time somebody squirted mustard in his eye, and he was like, "I like yellow," and then he wore yellow forever. That was it.
Now this is what makes
Sinestro... Why doesn't my ring work anymore when I have yellow in my
face?
Now
this is what makes Sinestro a really interesting person, because getting mustard in your eye would make you think that you would hate the color yellow forever, but he owned it.
Well, he was like, it was a challenge for him. He was like, my ring doesn't work. My green ring doesn't work when there's mustard in it. I should make a ring that works with yellow.
Man, the 50s was a weird time for superheroes and their villains.
I kid, but the mustard thing really did happen in the Silver Age a lot.
No, I thought you made that up on the spot.
Well, okay, no. Tell me more. Well, in like the Silver Age, right, the idea that the Green Lantern... had a weakness, and the weakness was things that were yellow.
Yes. Well, the original Green Lantern was weak for wood.
Yes.
The actual thing, not metaphorical wood or anything.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink, like that. But actual, you know,
wood made him weak
in
the knees.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Yes, trees and stuff. That was the Alan Scott Green Lantern.
Yes, and so Hal Jordan Green Lantern, the recreation... the Julie Schwartz recreation mm-hmm. from the 50s. Yes, continue.
Yeah, his weakness was the color yellow, but there wasn't really a good solid explanation. I think there was some explanation, but it was basically just like, oh, it's another color, and that makes him weak. And so, like,
right.
Anytime he came out, like, that was his downfall, was like, I mean, lamer than kryptonite. People complain about kryptonite.
Super lame.
It's like super anything lame. Yellow, you can't defeat it. So, like, there would literally be villains who would, like squirt mustard at him and stuff like that. That's a real thing that would happen.
The best... stop of this was All-Star Batman and Robin, in which Batman invited Green Lantern to have a conversation with him, and the whole room was yellow, and he and Robin were in yellow costumes with yellow face paint on, and he offered him lemonade, and like, all it was the best. It took it to the next level. Just it like, was great.
And poking fun at it,
and
obviously.
Super poking fun at so it, because that's what Frank Miller so real does. Yeah, he does
right.
real well.
That's right.
But
yes,
the mustard thing.
So the mustard, that was the mustard thing. But you know, in more recent years, the explanation is parallax, and parallax is this being that it deals with fear, and so the green right. rings
you're,
run on
you're
willpower.
Yellow, your yellow bellied thing. You know, right. you're a coward. You're
right.
fear.
Yellow
yeah.
fear, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So parallax is a being of fear, and that is what undoes willpower. It's fear. Fear can shake your willpower and can undo the green. The yellow fear undoes the green of...
It's amazing how a happy accident can really transform to some kind of like...
They rewrote it beautifully.
...mythology, like truly. Yeah.
They justified it really well. And it's like...
They Justice League did
it. They just Justice League-ified it, and it's great now. So anyway, Sinestro becomes... takes on this after Hal Jordan is taken over by Parallax, and he's kills all these he's part of the destruction of Coast City, and all these terrible things happen.
Cyborg Superman,
but
Coast City.
Oh sorry, yes, you're right, Coast yeah. City,
but he goes, that's what snaps
sets
him
off,
that's what sets
you're
him
right,
off
you're
on
right,
the
yes,
deep
yes.
end afterward.
But yes, that's when he becomes this evil guy, and Sinestro years later starts this Sinestro core
right.
that has at its core, it has the fear, the parallax fear thing at its core. So anyway, enough about Sinestro.
Yeah.
I want to guess what your favorite villain is.
Feel free.
So
feel free.
I don't want to fall in the same trap that you did, but I really do feel like your favorite DC villain probably is a Batman villain. And I feel like it might be the Joker.
It's not the Joker.
Okay.
Actually, you know, it's good. It's that same problem, because you think, okay, well, your favorite hero is Superman,
yeah,
so it must
yeah.
be Lex Luthor is your favorite supervillain.
Oh,
or...
Wait a second.
Go ahead.
Is it Ra's al Ghul? Ra's al Ghul?
I love me some good Ra's al Ghul,
but
he's
not
my favorite.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now I'm really intrigued. Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Darkseid is my favorite DC supervillain.
Ooh.
Darkseid is by far the coolest supervillain I could ever
okay. Good
hope
choice.
For.
Good choice.
There's something about...
Mary.
Yeah, there really was a lot of... there's something about Darkseid that captured my imagination when I was a kid.
Yes.
And I first was introduced to him Superman the Animated Series. And there's the two-parter episode called Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
On that. And there's actually, if you turn around, you're going to see Darkseid in the comic Apocalypse
yes.
Now. Yeah, you get it? You get
Apocalypse.
It, kid? You get it, kid?
Got it.
And so, but in that episode, Superman is utterly defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Super, spoilers for a show that's been out for 20 years, but you know what? We're going to
yeah,
carry
right.
on. So... and Superman is utterly defeated. And at the end of this two-part episode, Darkseid is returning back to Apocalypse, not because Superman defeated him, but because New Genesis showed up. So basically, for people who don't know, Darkseid is basically like Satan, and he controls this planet called Apocalypse, and he's basically this overlord dictator type thing of this planet.
And Apocalypse is basically hell.
Apocalypse is basically hell, and there's New Genesis, which is its opposite, which is
kind
of heaven, but not really.
Not
it's just
really.
The opposite of
yeah.
Apocalypse, but it's not really, like, it's a good place. But it's not a great place, and there's still political backstabbing and everything. The mythology created by Jack Kirby, notwithstanding, is superb. But with Darkseid particularly, there's something about this megalomaniac who is just as content standing there with his arms behind his back, standing there staring into a fire, as he is punching you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But when he punches you in the face, your skull is going to be obliterated to a tiny little shred of nothingness. But there's this moment at the end of that episode of Apocalypse Now, and you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. And Michael Ironside, who voices this character, which I credit to this day as the reason why I like this character so much, is because of Michael Ironside.
Nice.
Who is the best. And he says, cherish your moment of triumph, Superman. But remember, victory has its price. And he, with his Omega beams, he zaps, what's his face there? The cop, who's Dan Turpin.
Turpin.
He zaps Dan Turpin and kills him, and that's the end of it. Basically the end of the episode. And that was such a like a groundbreaking moment for me as a child, because this is the like the hero, this is the hero, this is the Watchmen moment for me.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like the heroes lost.
Yes.
They won.
Yeah.
But they lost. They absolutely lost.
Was it the final crisis moment for you?
Yeah, you're so funny. Mm-hmm. Shut up. No.
I know.
I actually don't mind Final Crisis. When you look at it in a complete set, and I know people are like screaming, like, how dare you say that? It is a triumph of, you know.
We should talk about Final Crisis sometime.
Sometime, yeah. I'd have to reread it. I might change my opinion on it. I've been known to do that flip-flop. But Darkseid, I think, is my favorite. I think he's his simplistic design, his desire to not just control the universe. His desire is not to control the universe by his will, but by taking away free will.
Yes.
His search for the anti-life equation, this mm-hmm. idea that free will disappears. And I think maybe that's why I like, maybe why I like Final Crisis, because this is Darkseid winning.
Okay.
This idea that like he did, and I like that story, and I'm kind of, I'm really sick to death of dystopian stories right now. Like, I'm real tired of,
I love a good dystopian story.
It's a terrible future and stuff. Yeah.
Too much of it going
on.
It's
a lot of it going on. That's probably because we're comic fans and we've been reading about dystopian stories long before they were popular.
Yeah.
Like, popular in the culture as they are now with stuff like Hunger Games and Divergent series and stuff like that.
Can I ask you a quick aside? I promise quick.
Yeah.
Do you find that as a comic book fan, and this may be a little unfair because you are also a teacher and you study English and literature, but do you find that as a comic book fan specifically, does your comic book perspective make it so that when you're watching sort of pop culture stuff, you are able to predict what's going to happen a lot more easily than people around you?
Extremely.
Yeah.
I have an unhealthy way of predicting what's going to happen.
And I'm not particularly good at like sort of, I try to live in the moment and watch things and just sort of enjoy them. But lately I have been finding that like, especially if I watch something with my fiance, I'll be like, oh, this is about to happen. And she's like, how did you know that? And I'm like, because I've seen it in comics a million times.
Yeah. A million times.
Okay, interesting.
It's so what non-comic, if a writer is a non-comic reader, I find that a lot of times they go, oh, this is a great idea. And
but
they write
it's
down,
been done.
And it is a great idea.
Yes.
But it's been done.
Yes. And it doesn't make it any less a great idea.
No, it doesn't.
It might still be great execution.
If they've never seen it before, and it's like the thing is coming from their own own mind and their own perspective and whatever else. But it's like if you I can see you're telegraphing a mile away.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I was actually just watching Gotham last night with a friend of mine, and I was saying, oh, well, this is like this and this and this, and he's a comic fan too, and so he's looking at it and seeing it. Now, this is a comic show, mind you.
Right.
But we're like, oh, well, but this is like because he's doing this and like this and blah, blah, blah. And we were right, and he was more right than I was, but it was a little bit different than I thought. And I said, now that's good writing, because I really thought you telegraphed it, and I was wrong.
Nice.
And that was a nice little applaud to me.
Good little bit of misdirection.
Yeah, a lot of real good misdirection. But you're right. You can see it coming a mile away.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was watching The Leftovers on HBO's The Leftovers.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil it because it's a recent episode, but, you know, there was just a situation where a character was in a sort of a fantasy situation and didn't realize that they were not in reality.
And were like, oh, well,
I was instantly like, this is obviously, this is not really happening. And I know how we have to get out of this to get him back to reality. Like I saw them lay out the breadcrumbs and I saw where we were going early in the episode. And I said it out loud. My fiance was like, there's no way you're right. And I was right.
That's it.
So, yeah.
Yes, yeah. It is what it is. But it's okay because comics continually break those boundaries for me. And there's something about the medium that allows them to do that.
Yes.
And so if people are catching up on TV a little bit later, so they're catching up on TV a little bit later.
Yeah, exactly.
No
That's
big
fine.
Deal.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. But the fact that I can have a conversation about King Shark with people.
Yes.
And I'd be like, yeah, I've read a bunch of King Shark stories, but they're like, when he grabbed the flash at the end of that episode, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And we can share this moment between us. That's
I love it.
It's real nice.
I love that.
So I'm going to guess your second favorite villain.
Okay.
But I need a clue here because there's a lot in the DC Pantheon that we're not going to hit on. And I'm going to – so give me a hero.
It is a Superman villain.
It is a Superman villain. It's Brainiac.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, you just actually changed my mind by reminding me how much I love Brainiac. Because it was going to be Lex Luthor. But
all of a sudden you're like, but Brainiac's actually better.
Reminded me how much I love Brainiac. And this goes back to watching the Superman the Animated Series premiere on the WB, mm-hmm. low these many years ago, 1996. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember it was a Sunday night, and they showed two or three episodes back to back. I think it might have been a 90-minute premiere. I think it might have been three episodes. And it is basically the origin story. It's basically a movie. You know, when you put three half-hour episodes together,
yeah,
you're looking at a movie, basically. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. I remember this. I remember Clancy Brown did, like, the announcements. I remember the announcements going in and out of commercial.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the Superman logo sweeping across the screen and Clancy Brown going, like, we now return to the world premiere of Superman. And I was just so excited because I was a little kid and there was freaking Superman on my television and he was going to be there every week.
Yeah.
So Brainiac plays a large, large role in the whole series, but in particular in that premiere.
Yeah, huge. And that's like you, I'm sure like you, and that is my version of Brainiac.
That is my definitive version of Brainiac. Yeah. That's the voice I hear when I read Brainiac in comics.
Yeah, this like dead, like the deadness of it. Yeah. I'm afraid I can't do that, Hal.
A little bit Hal, yeah.
Yeah,
A little bit Hal. Yeah, so yeah, I it's very much Hal, actually. But I love that version of Brainiac, and I love the villain because of that. I mean, you know, the whole in that continuity, Brainiac is Jor-El created Brainiac, and Brainiac takes over, becomes pervasive everywhere and across the whole planet, and causes the destruction of Krypton. And he is manipulating Jor-El and the rest of the council and the rest of the planet. He's manipulating everyone else against Jor-El. Like, he's telling them Jor-El is lying, and then he's telling Jor-El, like, oh, we need to do this, that, and the other thing. And he turns them against each other, and then he causes the destruction of the planet.
Yeah.
And he travels away, you know, with, not even with Kal-El, but he travels away from the planet to go on and conquer other worlds. Did they do Bottle City of Kandor in that show? I don't think they did.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Did they?
Maybe they did it in Justice League.
But did Brainiac do it in that version of the story? I don't remember if they did.
You know, it's actually been a long time since I've seen that series.
Yeah.
I should go back and watch it. I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It used to be.
Yeah, I
should really
go
back and watch it. I don't think that series was ever as good as Batman the Animated Series. It had something about it that was a little...
I watched more of it than I watched Batman the Animated Series, and I'm biased because I'm just a Superman
guy. I watched both about the equal... I think I watched both equally,
oh, okay.
Particularly when Batman went over to Kids WB,
yes.
And they had the Batman Superman Hour.
Yes, yes.
Was just the bomb.
That was amazing.
That was amazing.
That's where I saw the bulk of my Batman from when they did that. When it was on Fox, I didn't really see that much of it. Mm-hmm. But then once it moved over, that's when I saw more of it.
That's the stuff.
Oh man, that was good stuff. But yeah, so Brainiac is and just like the Geoff Johns Brainiac story is some of the best.
Yeah,
stuff.
You love it.
I love it so much. That it's like my favorite era. You know, this is my favorite era of like Superman comics. Like so much love for that. I can read that anytime. Yeah, I got that hardcover signed by Geoff Johns. When we met him, and it was great. It was great.
I got a Brainiac book signed by him too. Mm-hmm. Actually, I got the one where they remember it's Clark and Pa Kent drinking beer outside the farm.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, "You can't have Superman drinking beer."
Yeah,
and
well, so they still under the Comics Code at the time, I think.
Yeah, and so they went back and they had to have it say root beer.
Yeah,
but I have an original of him that was the beer one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Good times.
So Brainiac is a really, really cool villain. I It was years before I saw that. Oh, what's that, like the direct-to-DVD movie where like Brainiac was actually like the alien Brainiac? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was the AI this, of Brainiac, this, but
the,
in a...
The Superman Unbound movie? Is that the one you're talking about? The one with Supergirl?
No. I'm talking about the one that came out. It was like still a Bruce Timm one.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie. Yeah.
It might have just been called Superman Brainiac. I don't remember what it's called.
Do you want to use your one lookup?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But okay. Anyhow, so I remember that coming out a few years later and watching that and being like, but Brainiac's just a computer. He can't be in a body.
Right.
But yeah, I love me some Brainiac. So yeah, that's my number two. Now, to guess yours.
Yeah, guess mine. Go ahead.
You say that and you stare at me petting a cat.
I did pick up my cat. Go ahead, Mr. Bond. Feel free to check.
By the way, it's Superman Brainiac Attacks from 2006.
Brainiac Attacks. Yeah. My cat is not white and fluffy, for those of you wondering Blofeld
but
he is
pretty fluffy. Not white.
Pretty fluffy because he's the cutest cat in the whole world.
Speaking of villains that are fluffy. Okay, so give me the hero of your second choice villain.
You know, I have a weird toss up with this because it's this moment where you go like, oh shoot, like maybe it is this one.
You had this
moment with Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of like an all DC villain, both of them, but the one that I think is more particularly associated with Batman, but can be an all Justice League villain, all DC villain. Other people have fought them in the past.
Have we mentioned them so far tonight?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Oh, come on.
Afraid I can't do that, Frank.
A Batman villain who has been fought by the Justice League or by other heroes.
Yes, we mentioned them earlier tonight. Fine.
Okay. Yes. So is it the Joker?
No, it's still not the Joker. I love the Joker, but it's not. He doesn't hit my top two.
Okay. So is it Ra's?
Yeah, it's Ra's.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Ra's al Ghul.
Okay. I feel better. I feel better that at least, you know, I thought he was your number one, but at least he's your number two. I feel like I'm not that far off.
Yeah, no, you're not that far off. I love me some Ra's al Ghul. Hardcore.
Yeah.
He's got a cool name.
Yes.
He's got a cool mission.
Yes.
He's got a cool look.
Yep.
He's got a cool daughter. He's got a cool league, you know, that's not fantasy.
Of all the leagues in DC
of
Comics.
Of all the leagues.
It is the second coolest league.
He is the greatest league. Yeah, and so.
League of his own.
There's no crying in the League of Assassins. There's no crying in the League of Assassins.
Or the League of Shadows.
Or the League of Shadows. Yeah, I'm not about that life.
Me neither.
So. I love me some Ra's, and here's why. And it comes down to two words, and his name is David Warner.
Okay.
David Warner was the voice of Ra's al Ghul in Batman the Animated Series,
mm-hmm.
Batman: The Adventures of Batman and Robin,
mm-hmm.
Batman Adventures, and Batman Beyond. Mm-hmm. He was the voice of Ra's al Ghul, and he is that voice. You know, as people say, Kevin Conroy is that voice to them, who's
absolutely
super nice. Frank and I met him. No, yeah. I just met him. You weren't there.
But I met him a few years
but
ago.
Yes, you did.
But
yeah.
Yes, you met him alone, but yeah.
It was a great
What
moment.
A nice guy.
What a great moment. He's a super great nice, really great guy.
Yeah.
So David Warner is that voice to me. And as much as I love Liam Neeson as an actor, you're no David Warner.
Yeah.
And that's how much David Warner means to me.
Yeah.
There was something, and now it's funny because if I go back and watch those Ra's episodes of Batman the Animated Series, I'm like, okay, it's great.
Yeah.
They're fine. But he, as the character,
yeah, his portrayal.
His portrayal of the character is what has lasted for me. There's something about this. Ra's al Ghul comes from the era of Batman in which Batman was James Bond.
Yes, that's right.
He was a globetrotting. He was the globetrotter. He was the great detective and kind of a spy, and he had cool gadgets. And it was the Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams era of Batman is very much Batman as James Bond. And so here's the nice tux, and he's at this party, and he meets this woman who he charms, and then he goes after this terrorist organization and blah blah blah, all this different stuff. That's the Ra's al Ghul of in my brain, and that's just oddly real in today's world in a scary way, oddly, but at the same way I can, maybe it's because I understand that character in that sense. And so, and as much as, like I said, I liked Liam Neeson's portrayal in Batman Begins and the little bit in Dark Knight Rises and blah, blah, blah. And I liked, you know, the training and the League of Shadows thing, because if you call them League of Assassins in a movie, you're like, well, obviously you're an evil organization.
Right. You're right.
You know, at least Shadows are ambiguous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I can't think of the guy who played him on Arrow now. His name escapes me.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my lookup
worth
for this.
It's worth it.
Worth it, because I never use my lookup, and that's I'm going to use it for this.
You leave a lot of lookups on the table.
I do. I don't think they assemble that way. But he really takes his portrayal, whoever he may be, and I'll tell you in approximately 5, 4, 3.
So exciting.
2. Matt Nable. Yeah, Matt Nable. Matt Nable's portrayal, that was the Ra's al Ghul I wanted to see on the screen.
Yeah.
Here's this organization of ninjas and of assassins, and here's my big green robe, and here's my sword, and here's all these things. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the guy. This is the one that's going to grab a sword in his hand.
Yes.
And be like, I got this. And now I'm going to stab you and kick you off a cliff. You know, like, this, that's the Ra's al Ghul that I so much, it's very much associate with.
I mean, like, no.
Not reference. Associate with, but the one I associate with the comics.
Right. Yes, it is a closer, I would say, a closer adaptation. The Liam Neeson one is he's less badass in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he is. Which is so weird because it's Liam Neeson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But he's not as...
Liam Neeson in a post-Taken world would have played that part better.
Yes, but now he's too old.
Yes, I agree. But I don't think when that reveal comes in that film, I go, well, I mean, I knew it was coming, you know. And it's but at the even though I didn't know the spoiler, like, but when I watched the movie, I was like, oh, but he's got the little thing. He's got his little goatee, and he's standing at the side. It's like, it's obviously him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but I watched it, and I went, even, but like his turn, I'm like, but you're not, I don't believe you as this guy that wants to destroy a city. I just don't.
Do you think that's because it's Liam Neeson and Neeson?
I don't think so. No. I mean, Liam and I go way back, and I mean, he's a real nice guy, and we were in the Teachers League together and stuff like that, and, you know, like, whatever else. But then he punched a kid in the face, and that was the end of that.
True story. Yeah.
And so, really, look it up. I'm not even kidding. It's a true
Wait,
story.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't
he
know
punched
this?
A kid in the face?
Yeah, he punched a kid in the face. I think I'm pretty sure that's how it went. He was a teacher.
He was a teacher?
Yeah, and a kid was giving him problems. So he punched him in the face.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, and he kept continuing teaching, but he was like, maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure that's how that story goes. He's pretty open about it now. He'll talk about it, but.
Wow. Well, we both use our one lookup, so we can't. So you guys are just going to have to look it up for yourselves.
It's on your own, people. You're on your own. But he wasn't badass enough. I just didn't believe. He was too much of an Obi-Wan mentor
for me
to be like, Obi-Wan just turned on Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I think, that was the problem
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, Christian was like, I don't have to save you.
Yeah, yeah.
I breathe in my mouth when I'm Batman. I'm nowhere in hockey pads, so you guys play without me. You know, like, whatever. Yeah.
Very good.
Go all day. I could just.
I know you can. I'm just going to cut you off right
Christian
there.
Bale,
do you want to name? We're not going to go into detail, but you want to name just like two or three names off the top of your head that you would have mentioned. We're not going to go into detail, but just name them.
Yes. I have two. I can do two List them without off. Like really thinking of it. Deathstroke.
Okay.
I love me some Deathstroke and Gorilla Grodd.
Ah, Gorilla Grodd, very good choice.
There's nothing like a telepathic gorilla gets me going.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
Yeah, Gorilla Grodd. It's a great, it's the alliteration of it and even
Gorilla Grodd. Yeah.
I love me some Gorilla Grodd. So go ahead, give me yours.
I'm actually gonna say Superboy Prime.
Oh, Superboy Prime.
Right?
Oh, he's such a... We don't swear on this podcast.
I know.
But I'm going to say it now. No, I won't say... No. No, I won't say it. No. Come on, he's such a dick.
Yeah. He is.
He's such a dick Donner. Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
He's such a dictator. He's all right. Yeah. But
Richard Tater.
Yeah, he's a Richard Tater. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Superboy Prime. Good choice.
Man. Yeah. Oh. Superboy Prime is
gets me going like Umbridge in Harry Potter, like, oh, I just want to strangle you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you love to hate him.
Yeah.
Love to hate him.
So that's a good one. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. What's the next one?
Actually I might just leave it there. That's so good. Anybody else is not gonna be as good, so I'm gonna leave it there.
So good. Lex Luthor.
Lex is probably my number three, realistically.
Yeah.
But Superboy Prime as it became later.
Superboy Prime.
Yeah, man.
Good choices.
Good stuff.
Good choices.
Good talk.
I could absolutely keep going with this too.
We should do this again. We should do a part time.
We should do this with Marvel too.
Yeah, let's do this with Marvel.
We should do a Marvel thing. Tell us what your favorites are.
Yes.
You know, you can tweet us at Beer with Geeks or facebook.com/beerwithgeeks or emails at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. Tell us what your favorite villains are from the DC universe, because there's some great ones out there. And it doesn't matter if you came to them because you're watching the TV shows, or you're watching just the movies, or you're reading the comics, or what. It doesn't matter, because they're still your favorite. Like, if Heath Ledger Joker is your favorite Joker, fine. He's your favorite Joker.
That's great.
That's awesome.
We love to hear that.
I love me some Riddler, but I didn't even talk about him. Apparently, my sister's favorite Batman villain is a Riddler. She just told me that the other day, and she's not a comic book reader or anything like that, but she was like...
But she grew up with you guys,
like,
so...
I love the Riddler, and I was like, you should watch Gotham this season, because if you love the Riddler, like, that is your place to be. I have a review here for us from our friend Alan Fire, who is our friend Tim over at the...
Suicide Squadcast,
which is a great place for all your DC news and entertainment. You should check them out. They're great. If you like us, you'll definitely like them. Sometimes it's weird. It's like listening to a parallel version of ourselves.
It is. I mean, one of them's even named Tim.
I know, but Tim sounds like you.
I know. It's funny.
And it kind of weirds me out when I listen to it.
But
yeah.
They're not as good at dub smash warring as we are. So,
no,
you know,
you are.
They definitely
you
lost
know, we're
us.
So better at the dub smash war.
You know.
What are you going to do? I know.
They're like a less good version of us,
yeah,
but still pretty good.
Still pretty good. They're pretty good.
Suicide Squadcast.
But anyway, now I got a 5-star review from Alan in which he says, okay, I'm very late to the Beer with Geeks party, but that's okay because I'm slowly working my way through all of the Tim and Frank's past shows. Thank you. Now I know who's downloading our past shows. These guys are so easy and fun to listen to. Hearing them talk has reminded me of so many things I have forgotten about or informed me about things I need to check out. It is now on my bucket list to have a beer with these guys and talk about the geek stuff we should love so much. I wish we lived closer.
I know, man.
I know. Well, if we ever
we should have them on the show sometime. That'd
be
a lot of fun.
Yes, I agree. We should we'll have a great time, and we'll have they can have a beer wherever they live, and we'll have a beer wherever we live, because I don't know where I live. Oh, wait. We're in my house right now. But I think until next time, that is our show. And so until you, I say cheers.
Cheers. For real this time. Ha ha.